Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio, 7:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Got the band back together. How you doing, Terry?
Doing well. How about
good.
You?
Doing good over here. Doing good. I'm looking forward to seeing that sunrise out there. And
yeah, that's what they're telling us.
That's what they're
sun
we're
today.
Told it's supposed to be out today. We're told. We're going to hold them to that. We'll find out more about that in the 8 o'clock hour when Michael Carroll joins us.
It's been a long time since I talked to good old Michael.
Yeah, it's been a while. It'll be fun to have him join
it's
us.
Been hiding.
Friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, looking forward to that. We got a bunch of fun things lined up today. Of course, in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll get into our National Day of Calendar. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We'll celebrate from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then a little bit after that, we'll make you a star of the day with our friends from Culver's, a special Halloween TV show theme song. Ooh. All that lined up for you. And, of course, in the 9 o'clock hour, good stories, that ain't right stories. And we will have some entertainment news for you, touch on some other things. I want to get to some local Halloween events in the area. Make sure to cover some of those. All that coming up. We'll get into the rest of our schedule in a moment, but I wanted to catch up with you, Terry. It's been a little bit. How are things going with you?
Everything's going good.
Very good to hear. I know that we got some exciting stuff to talk about with the United Way, but before we get to that, rewind a little bit. How was Day of Caring?
Day of Caring went very well. We had 70 yards get raked, so everybody who signed up got their yards done. We had a little over 400 volunteers, I believe, so that was really awesome. About 180 back for breakfast, so nice. That was really cool for our first year back after COVID. So, so that was really nice to start the day off that way, having people gathered up, serving pancakes, and you know, just a fun connection point for people in the community. And you know, I think it just was a perfect storm, like of just like everything just aligned. Mm-hmm. Talking to my team from that day, they said everyone was done really early, but I think you know the sun was out. The leaves were dry, dry. Yeah. Not even, you know, sometimes they're dry on top, but they're wet underneath. Yeah. They were, like, it just went fast and went really well for everyone. And, you know, coming off a year of cold and rain the prior year, it was just really nice to have that happen. And literally every yard was done well before noon. And, we were in a really good spot. So
thanks to
all those volunteers. Thanks to everyone who, the organizations that helped sponsor the t-shirts, because that's always a highlight of the day. So everything was great. Couldn't ask for anything better.
Everything was perfect. Everything was great with the event, except for the fact that I was not a part of it and I was not able to get an orange shirt.
And they're gone.
And they're all gone.
Like, I don't even have one.
I knew they'd be gone.
I didn't have one I could swipe for you.
I knew that. That's nice you thought of that. I knew they'd be gone because I knew there'd be a good turnout. And I got a little preview of that when I came into work, because the reason I wasn't able to is because I had to cover over the back fence for Seth, or not cover for him. We share the show. And I came in and like I was in here for 5 minutes and all of a sudden the parking lot filled up. I was like, well, wait a minute. We expected guests. What's going on here?
You like creep out there and lock the door.
Yeah. It was a bunch of people in orange shirts and other colored United Way Day of Caring shirts from last year and years before and everything pulled in here. And I imagine they did a couple of yards near us.
Cool.
And they were in and out. They got done pretty quickly. I was wrapping up over the back fence, and most of the people were done. So I was here for about 2 hours, and people were pretty much in and out. And
yeah,
it was really
awesome.
Cool to see. And I got to say, not to you know, I don't know how this sounds, but as I'm bopping around town and the people out in front here and everything, just nothing but laughter and smiles. And that's not supposed to happen with raking. So shout out, everybody. Like, nicely done. That's not easy to pull off. As somebody who has raked a billion lawns in my life, that usually don't see that. Way to be, everybody. This is such an awesome community, and we show that every time we have these kind of events.
Well, and it was really cool. And Ben from our team was out. Once all the teams, you know, kind of left from breakfast, he was going out to take pictures of groups. And he said he didn't even get to that many because they were done. So we then, you know, ask people, as volunteers, to submit their pictures to us so that we would have even more, because he only got to like three or four groups. And he said the next one he went to find, you know, because he just had a list of the addresses.
Yeah.
He said the next one he went to find, clean yard, you know, bagged leaves and no people. So
efficient.
So that's good.
That's really cool to hear. I want to mention a couple of things real quick. The Reef Silent Auction, is that that's going to be up and running on Thursday, November 10th, I see?
Well, that's when we are collecting the wreaths.
Okay,
so gotcha. So, but we do still have some, I'm glad you brought that one up, because we do still have some spots open.
Okay.
So the Reef Silent Auction will actually happen right after Thanksgiving. When the auction happens. But we are currently accepting donations for, these would be for new wreaths. So you might purchase one and donate it, or you could make one. But there's a sign-up form on our website. And we have the capacity to do up to 20 wreaths. So
cool.
There right now, I think we're sitting at about a dozen. And so that'll be awesome. But it'll be a silent auction where you create a little login on our profile or on our website. It's super easy. I mean, I know that you did it last year.
Yeah.
It's really easy.
I'll be doing it again this year.
And then you just you just go ahead and put in your bids, and it'll run for, I believe we launch on a Friday, and it'll run through Tuesday. And so you can get a nice new wreath for yourself, for your front door above your fireplace, or it's a great gift for your mom.
It's a great gift for your mom, especially your Jewish mom, which for some reason just loves Christmas so much. she's so excited about this. I told her that she heard about it and mentioned to me, Jimmy, you didn't tell me that there's wreath auction. She thought it was up and running already and everything, and I had to tell her, no, we got plenty of time. It's exciting. That's a fun one. And it's certainly another great way for you guys to help to keep doing the work that you're doing by raising funds for these. Real quickly, have you ever made a reef?
I have, yeah. The first year, I made one. No, not at all.
It seems like I don't want to say easy, but fun, difficult, or fun, kind of.
A little challenging. But I think, you can be really creative with them, too. So, and we do have a minimum size. We do have a few guidelines, because the first year we did it, we just kind of threw it out there. And honestly, the first year we did it, we just did it because we wanted to test that platform to be able to use it for Power of the Purse. And so, but it's been so successful. There's no reason to take it away.
Right.
But there are some guidelines, because the first year we didn't really put that out there, and we had some really teeny tiny ones you know what I mean? Which is hard to depict on a picture. So so I believe it's a minimum of a 12-inch wreath.
12-inch or larger.
But it could be fresh. If you wanted to do a fresh one, we did have two live wreaths last year. Artificial, of course, lasts longer and can be used year after year. It could be lit or not lit. There's a lot of different different variety, and it's fun to see the different themes. And we'll always get a few kind of traditional Christmas ones, like a green wreath with red, and maybe some berries or whatever. But then we've also had some really cute, very non-traditional ones, maybe colors that aren't necessarily always associated with Christmas or whatever. But I think it's a cool opportunity and a different way to engage.
Very well said. It really is. It's a fun way. And funny how I just love the story of how it happened.
We just were like, we got to test this out, and how are we going to do that? So it worked out good. And then, we also make a little money for our, and it all goes towards the campaign. So all the wreaths are donated, and then 100% of the purchase of the wreath goes to our campaign.
And I'm glad you brought up the campaign. That's where I wanted to wrap up, because we are so excited. We are less than a month away from our WFHR Radiothon with the United Way. This is one of our favorite days of the year. We love doing this. This is going to be so much fun. November 16th from 7 to 10:30. We are going to, basically, the United Way takes over. I will just be running this board. I am just a body that's here to make sure that things are running. That's it. We have a blast with this, Terry. Going back to my first year doing this with Carl and you and the team that we had then, and it's just been a fun every single year. It's a great opportunity not only for people to hear from in detail what the United Way does and so many of the different facets of things that it does, but hear their donations announced on the air if they'd like, get a pretty sweet deal here too, business wise.
Yeah, so businesses, if you donate on that day during the Radiothon, if you make a donation of $500 up to $1,000, you'll receive the same in-kind advertising here on WFHR, WIRI, and that that's for new ad campaigns, but you can be an existing advertiser. So it might just be something new that you want to promote. Mm-hmm. So I think that a couple of years we had maybe a little confusion that existing advertisers thought it was only for new people. Yeah. But you could be an existing advertiser. It's just for a new ad campaign. So I think that that's a really, really awesome deal. We are kind of structuring the mornings as such. We will have a variety of different guests that are our partner programs. So right now we have scheduled North Central Community Action, and they fall in our housing area. We have Focus, which falls in our emergency food area. We have the YMCA. We have Family Center. And we have one. We actually have one spot left open. And then we have a spot where Craig Broren, our campaign chair, will be in. And then we also will have Amy from United Ways 211 to talk about the 211 program and what that means. Perfect. So basically, every 30 minutes, we'll rotate somebody out and bring in the next and talk about how United Way funding impacts that program. And you know, if they didn't have United Way funding, what would that mean? How would that impact us?
Right. I cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun. Be sure to spread the word, everybody. Let them know. November 16th, 7 to 10:30, United Way Radiothon going to be happening right here with WFHR. We are so excited about this. It's going to be fun. Appreciate, Terry, all the heavy lifting you guys do behind the scenes with that event. It doesn't happen without all those things that you guys do there. I just push buttons over here, so
we're looking forward to it.
It's going to be a good time. I wanted to let everybody know about our weekend schedule a little bit here and preview something else as well. Now, today, when Terry and I are done hanging out with you, getting you ready for your weekend, we will kick off the final morning magazine for the week. In part one, we'll talk with our friends from the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Rhonda James, Nutrition Program Director, will be with us.
Awesome.
It'll be nice for one program director to talk to another. It'll be Sally Kistner, Executive Director, Eric Brittenacher over at the Performing Arts Center are going to join us to talk about the Arts Council, talk about Bill Bragg and the great magic show we got coming up November 10th. That is going to be fun.
Cool. I don't know if I really realized the magic show was coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of sounds fun.
It looks awesome. The magic of Bill Black when it comes to magicians, Bill is like on another level. Don't know him, boy, you're going to find out.
There's his regular show, but wouldn't it be fun? You know, I know sometimes they bring people in to work with students and stuff.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be kind of fun?
Especially if some kids,
you know what I mean? Like some high schoolers got to be able to.
Well, we're going to get to find out today if that's something that they're going to be able to pull
off.
That'd
be kind of fun.
We'll find out with Sally and Eric and looking forward to talking with them.
Find out how to cut through a box without cutting someone.
I would like to learn that. I would. Not for any particular reason. Not because there's any co-hosts that I would love to try.
Contortionist, like you can
I'm very, very flexible.
Could fold you in half in the box.
You probably could pull me in half. Probably.
See, now you're in the box. You thought you were the cutter.
Don't. I really did for a half a second there. I'm the only one that did. Everybody else knew. A little bit later today at 6:30, we got hockey on the radio. Wisconsin is hosting Penn State, Big Ten matchup. Looking forward to having that right here. And then on tomorrow, right here at WFHR, more Wisconsin Penn State on the football side of things, I should say. That's hockey. I'm sorry, that's more hockey for them. I'm so in football mode. That's all I'm seeing really right now. On Sunday, Wisconsin hosts UW-Eau Claire in an exhibition game. That is at 10:30, and that's some basketball for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Wisconsin basketball.
Here we go.
Hockey, football. It's a great time to
I'm
be a Badger
you.
Fan.
I'm still at football, too.
I'm stuck in football. And I love hockey, but I'm still stuck in it. Did want to also mention that when this weekend, we are going to be having a special Sunshine Polka show at noon. Now, you want to make sure to catch Over the Back Fence before that 11 to noon. Seth will be here to take your calls. And then to lead you into the Sunshine Polka show. Tim, the polka guy, has prepared a special Halloween show for you. Halloween polka, baby. It's going to be good.
How do you make a spooky sound on an accordion?
I bet you Dr. Demento or Weird Al could figure it out. And if anything, Tim can find
Dr.
it.
Dr. Demento, is that still a thing?
No, can't be. Can't be. No, but man, shout out to Dr. Demento. And on Saturday, we've got some special stuff lined up. Of course, Seth Faces the Music, as you've come to love it. Every Sunday, 6 to 8, Seth's theme, going to be a very Halloween theme. Actually, a replay of last year's Halloween show. We've got a bigger audience than we had a year before and a year before that and everything. So when we were talking about it, he just kind of was going to go that route, and I was encouraging him, and I think that's a good idea. Leading, that show is going to be setting up our newest show, The Director's Cut. WFHR's Director's Cut is finally ready to premiere. We are so excited about this. This is going to be an opportunity for us to For those that aren't familiar with the term director's cut, it often is there's a theatrical release, and then there's a release of the movie or a song or an album that is more in line with what the artist wanted and what the artist was trying to do. Most of the time you see a movie in the studios and it's the director's vision, but let's be realistic about this. The producers are putting money into it, and if the producer says, "Hey, I want the happy ending," you're going to get that. If you want to have the director wants a realistic ending, Blade Runner is a great example of that, where in the movies you see it in one way and in the theatrical or the at-home release it's a little different. That's what this is. This is a chance for us to be able to take like all the stuff we do on the morning show, like with the musicians we have on and the actors we have on, or any authors. What we used to be able to do with Over the Back Fence, having on some of our local people to be able to focus on local issues, things like that. That's what Director's Cut is. It's going to be a bit of all of that. This first show that we have, we are very, very fortunate. First off, it's a show that Seth and I are doing together. So Seth and I will be on the show, of course. But we are, in our first show, we were able to do this interview earlier this week with Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater for the SpongeBob musical. Big shout out to Theo, to Nick, to Amber, especially Amber for reaching out and working with me on this. So we had them in. We interviewed with them. We have a little of that. Seth and I also got into a bit of the big news that broke over the week here. James Gunn is taking over DC. And this is huge news in the movie industry and all that stuff. So we touched on that a little bit. We are going to be doing things like that. We're also going to be opening up to listeners. We want to hear from you guys out there. We want to know, you know, what you want, out of the show, people you want on the show, and give us your movie reviews. Whether you're reviewing something or you want Seth and I to review something, whatever it is, doesn't matter. I don't care if it's a movie that just came out or it's a movie that came out 30 years ago. That's the kind of thing we're going to have fun with the show. Cool. It'll be on every Sunday, 8 to 9. Please spread the word about it. Get ready for the podcast.
PM,
yes. Okay. And thank you. Yeah. So it's a perfect way. If you notice there, we're building blocks here where we've got our Over the Back Fence leading into, Polka Show. We on Sunday, Sesh Show leading into Director's Cut. These kind of things. Just more and more of how we keep being able to say that we are a locally grown radio. We understand the station's grown and evolved a little bit, even more over the last year and everything. But as long as this building is filled, we are going to keep this locally grown radio. And that's how we do it. Part of how we do it. And we do it with you guys. You guys, I want your feedback on this show. You're going to help us create this show. You're going to help us make this show as good as it can possibly be. So you know people out there. You know musicians. You know authors and different artists that you think would fit the show or topics that you think would fit the show. Because it doesn't just have to be that. We have a lot of different things going on with the United Way, with the ADRC, the Family Center, all these things. Maybe we have them on sometimes. Next week on Morning Magazine, we're going to have on contestants for the Miss Wisconsin Rapids pageant. Maybe next year we have them on that show. Things like that. It's going to be fun. And the show will be available for podcast, so if you're not able to catch it right live and direct.
Like
you'll
if
be
you're
able to,
already getting ready for bed or
right,
something?
Right, exactly. I didn't say that at all for my co-host here. That's not at all who I was saying it for.
I'm still awake at 8 o'clock, for the record.
Right on. Good on you. Good on you. Living wild.
But
over
I'm
there,
honestly so. Reading probably about by 8:30. So.
And I do want to encourage people to check out the SpongeBob musical. It premieres today at the Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater, the Century Theater. Go ahead and head on over to Point if you're not already in Point. You can get more information by giving them a call at 715-341-6744, 341-6744. And be sure to go to cwac.org, that's cwact.org, to find out more, to get tickets, and to see other things that they got going on over there.
It's a bad acronym. CWACT.
CWACT. Yeah, I kind of like it, actually. Well, yeah. But I know what you're saying. And Break a Leg, everybody, a part of that cast. That looks like such a fun show. That SpongeBob musical, I did not realize how jam-packed that is. Brian Adams and a bunch of other people wrote songs for it. John Legend wrote a song for
really?
It. Like all the, yeah, like they went really all in.
Huh.
I didn't think about this when you see that, you're like, oh, SpongeBob musical. It's a Nickelodeon show, whatever. Oh, they got money. Like they got money over there, Nick.
Interesting.
And they put a lot of it into this show.
I am.
It shows.
Not a SpongeBob fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not of the show. Like, that would not appeal to me. But I do. I still like the local artistry. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's cool.
In this cast, they work so hard on this, and their voices are like dead on with the characters and everything. It's going to be a really fun show. Be sure to check it out, everybody. Again, cwac.org, the website to go to. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with our National Day of Calendar and plenty more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. We are going to get into our National Day of Calendar for this October 28th, 2022. October, where did you go? It just
isn't
went.
Isn't that
just
crazy?
Gone. Just gone. It's crazy.
Although, it's getting to be my favorite time of year.
I'm not even looking at Terry right now because I can hear her smile. Looking into our National Day of Calendar for today, National First Responders Day.
Awesome day.
Heck yeah. That's a good one. That is awesome. Paramedics, ambulance drivers, firefighters, and EMTs all deserve a little bit of love and affection every day. But National First Responders Day offers a special opportunity for showing thanks and appreciation to those men and women who are ready to play a crucial part in saving lives whenever they need the need arises. I, like many people out there, wouldn't even be here without first responders. I don't know how my mom or dad would be, my mama in particular, the way I was born, and it was first responders that delivered me in the middle of one of the worst snowstorms in Illinois' history. And they did this, and they did it with smiles on their faces and excitement. I should also mention that it was the first time for all of them. the back of my head would have a word with them, but that being said, if you have an opportunity, if you know anybody in these industries, if you have an opportunity to ask how they're doing, I think saying thank you is great, Terry, but especially with first responders, just ask, how you been? How things going? You know,
yep.
a simple question like that just can go so far.
I was even thinking when you said, if you know any of them, but you know what? Even if you don't, take a minute and you could even just write a thank you card pop it in the mail. I mean, just looking at the bulletin board in here, like all the thank you messages and stuff, I think that's important. And so even if you don't know them, just, thank them for the work that they do because you don't know when you're going to need them. You hope you never need them.
Right.
But you also hope that they're always there, in that case.
The history of first responders in the U.S. dates back to the Civil War, when field workers would provide needed on-site care to wounded soldiers. But this idea dates even further back to Europe during the Napoleonic Wars, where lightweight wagons delivered the wounded to field hospitals. According to historical records, the first civilian ambulance in the United States was put into service in 1865 in Cincinnati, Ohio. Since then, modern emergency medical services, or EMS, systems have developed over time to include the range available today, fire services, ambulance, and helicopters.
Wouldn't you like to see that ambulance from 1865?
Yes, absolutely. It's National Immigrants Day.
Awesome.
So this is a day literally everybody can celebrate. I suppose if you have Native American heritage, maybe not as much, but yeah, every one of us immigrants. Every one of us came from immigrants outside of that. Give me your tired, your poor, your humbled masses yearning to breathe free. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Statue of Liberty, New York City, USA. One of the things that makes this country a superhero, a power, what it is, all the things we could talk about and ramble about USA, USA. It all begins with immigrants. Every bit of it, from the Mayflower coming over here to any current day immigrants, all of it starts with immigrants. This whole wonderful, beautiful thing that we do here, the democracy, freedom of speech, all these different things begins with immigrants. You may not like that, but it's the facts. It's reality.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's actually really unique and really cool. Think about this. Think about trying to pull something like this off in 2022 with all the modern tech we have and everything. It seems like things are so much smoother and easier and such. And it'd be pretty dang hard to pull that off. Like, hey, we're going to start a new country and everybody's welcome. You just heard what I said there. That's down the Statue of Liberty. That's the rule. That's it. If that's what you're looking for, you want to put into this country and help us make it great. And I can't imagine how we'd pull that off, let alone when they did it then. Like, how they pulled it off then is insane. Like, that's literally insane.
And without the technology.
This country's still here. Like, that's insane. Like, how did that happen? We are so young as a country. When you compare us to the rest of the world, we are teenagers. We're just turning 18, 19-ish.
When the Queen died, one of the reports that I was listening to, basically they said that, she was the queen for a third of the time that we've been a country.
Right.
Isn't that, you know, so when I think about it that way, it's like,
yeah,
because you don't, I don't really sit and think about, you know, how long we've been a country or often.
Yeah.
You know, milestones come up and you think about it, but you don't really think about it until you think about it in the over the course of the length of the span of a person's life. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that's kind of cool.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing. And again, it all starts with immigrants. Happy History of National Immigrants Day is a great way to celebrate our melting pot. It is also Plush and Animal Lovers Day. Okay. So kids, rejoice.
Oh, stuffed animals.
Yeah, stuffed animals. I don't know if they just couldn't say stuffed animals, if that's like a copyrighted term or something like that.
But, I don't know.
Also, International Animation Day. Yes. Animation's awesome.
Oh, let's
awesome.
Get to the really important one up there.
Yeah. National Bandana Day. I am a big fan.
That's not
of
that the
one. Oh, okay. I was surprised because I'm like, I like bandanas. I didn't know you did. Okay. Well, it is National Bandana Day today.
Although, that picture is not a bandana. That's a do-rag.
It's a do-rag, definitely.
You can make a do-rag out of a bandana, but that is not it. But it
good
is a cute.
For knowing the difference, though.
It is a cute kid.
Points to you. That is a cute kid, yeah. It is National Chocolate Day. That's what she's talking
That's
about.
That's where
everybody.
I'm headed.
That's the one, yeah.
Bring it on.
I mean, there are just so many different ways to love chocolate.
I do just love a plain Hershey bar, though.
I do. That's good. See, today is good. Nice to go to the classics. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I do feel for people who cannot enjoy chocolate. I hope that whatever substitutes are out there, you can enjoy today as well. But if you are a chocolate lover, rejoice.
That would be tragic.
Dive in. Yes, yes. It sounds like one of the more tragic things I can think of, yes. Love chocolate, obviously. I don't know how much of my DNA is chocolate at this point in my life, but I mean, I got to think at least 20-30% of it.
Oh,
yeah. I've been eating a lot of chocolate for a long time. it's good stuff. Frankenstein Day as well. Frankenstein Friday, actually.
Whoa.
Technically.
Is that, you think that's always the Friday before Halloween?
I got to think it is, yeah. In a little competition to see who could write the most epic horror story, Mary Shelley, her husband Percy, and other creative friends, such as the famous poet laureate Lord Byron, created some gory stories. And Mary Shelley's story about Frankenstein's monster was the most captivating. First published anonymously in 1818, it wasn't until the second edition in 1823 that Mary Shelley's name appeared on the Gothic work of fiction. Some people also consider Frankenstein to be one of the earliest examples of science fiction. In fact, most authors will give Mary Shelley, like, due credit as the architect of science fiction.
Why do you think that she would have published it anonymously? Do you think because she was female?
Do you
think it was controversial?
No, I know for a fact that it was in part because publishers wouldn't publish females, at least predominantly. And so, but along with that, with what you're saying, Terry, it's a little bit of both.
You know what I mean? Because was it like a little too over the edge? Was it a risk of her reputation? Or was it, you know what I'm saying? Like she didn't want to be tied to something. So
all the above. All the above. It starts with being so difficult for women to publish at that point. But then you put on top of it, she's talking about digging up body parts and everything, and basically playing God in the 1818s. Like, yeah, I mean, nowadays that don't roll over very well. I can't imagine what it was like back then. So it's not only.
I think nowadays, if Frankenstein came out, nobody would even bat an eye.
No, not even close.
Everybody's
nuts. Not even close. Wouldn't even notice. I'd interview him on Morning Magazine, and like people be like, why'd you interview him again?
Yeah, exactly.
You had him on last month. Yeah.
Great. You know, it is kind of, I am glad though that only 5 years later she got the credit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That it came back to her and it wasn't just because, cool. Well,
and we cannot even wrap our minds around how many young women have grown up looking up to her and knowing that's, you know.
That she knew how to harvest body parts.
Yeah, you're right. Yes, exactly. Yes, that's exactly where I was going with it. He's a brat. on Saturday, it's National Cat Day.
What a cute kitty.
That's a good looking cat. That's a cute. I like that coat. It is Cat Day on Saturday, as well as Internet Day, National Hug a Sheep Day.
Who hugs a sheep?
Sheep are great.
Really?
Sheep,
I think they're
awesome.
Like stinky and dirty.
I have never. I think I've been around sheep once or twice in my life.
A little baby sheep, sure, but not big. Puffy ones like that.
And on October 30th, Sunday, it is National Candy Corn Day. along with Haunted Refrigerator Night.
What? Okay, you got to click in that, because what is that?
What is that? Okay, that may be a little harsh, but let's face it, there isn't a huge amount of things you can do with certain leftovers, and sometimes you forget about them in the face of a fresher meal. When you forget about those leftovers, you can't rest assured that they certainly haven't forgot about you. Instead, they sit there lurking in the back. Yes, okay.
So,
this holiday is one of grand march of holidays created by Thomas and Ruth Ray of Walcott Holiday and Herbs. A way to celebrate, basically cleaning out your refrigerator, getting the leftovers
One of my brothers in college, you know, so it's all dudes, right? Like college house. Yeah, they always had some sort of experiment like that going on in their fridge. Like they'd forget about it, then they'd wait till it got so... until the cover blew off kind of thing, you know?
Every college dorm room, just a walking that ain't right story. Really, just truly is. I know. I was there. We'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back. And we've got some interesting... I got a fun one here, Terry, I want to get into. People are worried that if their dog could talk, what would they say? We're going to get into that one.
Probably everyone should worry about that.
Yes, absolutely. Immediately, as soon as I said the sentence, starting to worry already. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on Mornings on WFHR. Good one. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Terry and James here with you. Just a couple of rapids werewolves. Werewolves and rapids. That's such a good song. Welcome back, everybody.
Just a couple of rapids werewolves.
Yep, that's all. Nothing big. Nothing to see here. Werewolves, dogs, I mean, they're so hand in hand. There's a kinship there. There's a DNA share there.
Oh, for sure.
And that's the closest I'll be able to come up with a segue to get into this next topic. This seems like the premise of a 90s movie. A very strange survey asked pet lovers to imagine that their animals could talk and what the positives and negatives would be. First off, people believe that hypothetically dogs would be most likely to start speaking to us, and the biggest concern is that they'd gossip and reveal our secrets.
Yeah. So what if they could only talk to us? What if they could only talk to their owner?
Oh, that's an interesting concept. I've never thought about that.
They might already be talking to each other, and we just don't know it.
They definitely are talking to each other. They just don't have a very deep, there's not a lot of dialogue. Certainly not a lot of, gossip.
And they don't have a way to vocalize it out. You know what I mean? Yeah. But if they could only talk to their owner. But if they could talk to anyone, yeah, that would be bad.
The next most popular concern is that your dog wouldn't stop talking once it started. And the third biggest worry is that the dog wouldn't be politically correct and would insult someone. Also, people think dogs would be more likely to say something mean than cats would be. The biggest benefit,
really?
That's funny. That's interesting.
I think a cat would be more snarky.
I think it's on the surface I see that, but I think because I think of dogs as not having a filter, so I feel like a dog would say things that maybe you don't say that out loud.
Yeah, or they'd be belching and farting and that kind of stuff. But yeah, a cat is more sneaky, I think.
Yes. Yes, I agree completely. The biggest benefits of having a talking pet would be they could explain their food preferences, they could let us know if something was wrong, and they could tell us if they're feeling sick or tired, and they could probably, not that Lassie and the gang doesn't already do this, but they'd be able to help us. They'd be able to do more things for us, and they already do so much for us. There's an actual that ain't right part of this to me.
Totally.
That so many people are worried about your dog being politically incorrect. Like, that's on you, all right? Like, dogs don't care. You think a dog is sitting there bent out of shape about the political spectrum or race relations or anything like that? No, they're busy eating their stuff and licking themselves. Like, they ain't worried about that. That's on us. That's mirroring that
kind
of thing.
I
don't like that they put that on dogs.
And
dogs,
I think they can already tell us, right? They can tell us when something's wrong. They can tell us when they need to, when they're tired. I guess the only thing they can't really do is their food preference, but... I mean, I suppose they could, right? They could refuse to eat it.
Now, that's the thing that I think would be the real tense part of this. I think people are underestimating how hungry dogs are, how much they love to eat. It's all they got. They love
and how treats. Much work would it be if all of a sudden they could vocalize all this stuff?
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, right? You'd just be having like another kid.
Absolutely. Look, and if anybody, any parents out there, all of a sudden, as I was talking about these things and you saw a parallel there, do not feel bad. Don't. We all did it. We all did. We all like, wait a minute. Once they start talking, I mean, know what that's like.
Think about Garfield the cat.
Yes. Yes. Look at, did you see John Happy? You never saw John Happy. You noticed he was single his whole life. So, I mean, that was.
And a lot of lasagna.
Yep.
But, you know, yeah, I'll pass on the talking dog.
I think it makes a great Pixar movie, you know? But I don't know if it makes a great reality. I'm not sure. Like,
did you see Secret Life of Pets?
No, my dad. My dad likes that movie because my nephews like it, and he loves Kevin Hart. So he'll be sitting there watching that. I'll see little snippets of it, not knowing any context of what's going on.
Yeah.
And I kind of like it more that way.
But I mean, it's funny, you know. This a little. I mean, no, it's not your dog talking to the general public, but it is kind of funny.
I really do think that they got it right and up. And that's basically what it'd be. Squirrel. I mean, it just, you know, that's pretty much what it would be. I have a feeling, at least. I think it'd be kind of fun to find out, but I also feel like it's one of those things you care for what you wish for.
Yeah.
And I love dogs. Honestly, it would be worth whatever trade-off if it means that they could tell us, hey, you know, I got to go out. Or, hey, I need this. I need that. I think that would actually be beneficial. And especially, look at how much dogs, just looking at dogs here, what dogs do for the human beings, whether it is seeing eye dogs or helper dogs or, you know, therapy dogs, all these things, the different the hundreds and hundreds of different programs that exist for inmates or veterans that dogs do. Now imagine if they could talk.
But if your dog could spill everything about you. If Sam could be like running around telling everybody, now that do you think you would still have the same relationship with Sam, like the things that you do and say in front of him, or would you now be kind of censoring that a little bit, right? Like,
I would definitely be censoring.
Like you're not walking around in your underwear anymore because Sam's telling everybody.
I would definitely be a little more. I will say
a little more discreet.
Yes, I would say I would be much different 20 years ago than me now. Now I don't care. I mean, I'm not as worried.
Right, but it still would be. You know what I mean? Like I think the relationship that you love about your dog would change because you'd have to.
And that part now you sold me the other side. Now,
you have to be a little more, I don't know, cautious or reserved or whatever.
I wouldn't want to take the chance of ruining the relationship we've already have with them. So I think that's a good point to bring up. Interesting. An interesting topic. We'll take our final break of the hour. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun and take it up to the top of the hour, getting you ready for a morning for the bunch of stuff coming up in today, whether it's Morning Magazine or Missy's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club or Culver's Star of the Day, all that on the way right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you, 7:52 on the clock, and we're looking into tomorrow being National Cat Day. When we give cats a little more attention, a little more appreciation, a poll found you'll spend $25,000 on your cat over the course of their life.
What?
That's insane. That it can't be possible. $1,300 a year on food, $108 on toys, $111 for the average vet bill, and $764 to replace furniture they scratch up. Here are the top 10 things cats like to break or ruin. How is this a good way to celebrate cats?
I don't think, because we had a cat for a long time. I don't think I ever spent over $100 a month on food, though. I think that one's a little off. But I guess it depends what you're feeding.
Yeah. But
that's a lot.
That does seem like quite a bit, yeah. That does seem a little high. So things they like to ruin, clothing, like when they snag it with their claws, or rugs and carpets, your sofa. Drinking glasses by knocking them off the table. That is. Chairs, table legs, power cables, drapes, your phone by knocking it off stuff.
Oh, should definitely get one.
Hardwood floors. Yeah. So, I mean, we're supposed to be celebrating cats. I'm not, okay.
Yeah, that one wasn't very endearing, was it?
No, but I thought I'd just look up real on the fly here, like fun, interesting facts about cats. I thought that'll be a little more fun.
A little more interesting.
Cats are believed to be the only mammals who don't taste sweetness. Cats are nearsighted, but their peripheral vision and night vision are much better than the of humans. Cats are supposed to have 18 toes, 5 toes on each front paw, 4 toes on each back paw. Cats can jump up to 6 times their length. I've mentioned this before. I had a 6-toed cat. Many people have seen those before.
I don't think I ever counted the toes on our cat.
Yeah, I never would have thought about it. But I was a big Ernest Hemingway fan, and Hemingway had a 6-toed cat that he loved and adored, and he actually left property to the keeping 6-toed cats alive. And now they're in abundance. I shouldn't say in abundance, but there's much, much more of them now.
Huh.
Because of this almost preserve that he turned his one of his vacation areas into.
Interesting.
Yeah. A house cat's genome is 95.6% tiger, and they share many behaviors with their jungle ancestors.
You know, we had my daughter's cat that she had until a couple of years ago was like I'm always like, that cat thinks he's a tiger. Like, he would kind of like stalk. I mean, he didn't pounce at Jerry, but he'd kind of like stalk along like that.
Right.
You know, the way that he'd walk. And I'm like, what is his deal? That would explain it.
It's pretty interesting. Does this mean if you own a cat, you get to say, yeah, I got a half tiger at home? I got a half tiger. Yeah, a half tiger at home. You know, nothing big, nothing much. You bring the person over, they see your cat.
It's a mini.
Yeah. It's a mini. What do you want? It's a fun size. Fun size tiger. Fun size tiger. That doesn't sound good. Cat's claws all curve downward, which means that they can't climb down trees head first. Instead, they have to back down the trunk. I don't think I realized that. Huh. That makes sense, though. It does make sense. It's just interesting. I never thought about it. A cat's collarbones don't connect to their other bones, as these bones are buried in their shoulder muscles. Not a lot of animals have that, where the bones are separate from the skeleton.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It's just insane. Yeah, that's crazy. Cats have 230 of those bones, while humans only have 206, and they will not stop bragging about it. Just every cat you talk to, they're like, you know, we got more. Yeah, I know you guys got more bones than us. Yeah. I'm just tired of it, Terry. Quit bragging. Cats have an extra organ that allows them to taste scents on the air, which is why your cat stares at you with their mouth open from time to time. That's interesting.
That is very interesting.
That's crazy. Cats have whiskers on the backs of their front legs as well. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Cats have nearly twice the amount of neurons in their cerebral cortex as dogs. And again, they will not stop bragging about it. I mean, dogs don't have the greatest self-esteem sometimes, too, and they don't need that, you know? That's just
okay,
enough.
Okay, but think about, like, if you have a dog and a cat at the same time, you know, and the dog kind of comes bounding in, is bustling, you know, like, they have their tongue out, they're all over the place, and then the cat's just sitting there looking at them like, you're an idiot. You know?
Yes.
They just do.
They know, and it's so common too. And as soon as you said it, I'm imagining it like that. Every time it's been the same.
And the cat's just like, wow, really?
I wanted to look into one other thing here. Yeah, okay. So looking at the rest of these things here, cats' rough tongues can lick a bone clean of any shred of meat. Again, the tiger in them.
Including your leg.
Yeah, right? Feels like it sometimes. Cats make very little noise when they walk around. The thick, soft pads on their paws allow them to sneak up on prey or you.
True story.
Maybe a little of both, right? True. There. Cats use their long tails to balance themselves when they're jumping or walking along narrow ledges. Cats use their whiskers to feel the world around them in an effort to determine which small spaces they can fit into. A cat's whiskers are generally about the same width as its body. That's kind of interesting. Yeah. And cats can swim. Cats are ambidextrous, but 40% are either left or right pawed. That is kind of interesting. And there are cats who have more than 18 toes. These extra digit felines are referred to as polydactyl, or I just named him Hemingway. Now, one of the most fascinating things, if not the most fascinating thing to me about cats, along with their origin story, is their purr. And I remember hearing this when I was young, and I just think it's fascinating. The laryngeal muscles are responsible for the opening and closing of the glottis, the space between the vocal cords, which results in a separation of the vocal cords and a bit of a purr sound, but they generally don't know where the purr in the cat comes from. It doesn't come out of there. It comes out of the body necessarily, and they don't know specifically like how or why they do this.
And isn't that weird?
It's crazy.
Like that no one's been able to dissect that.
That's really
but
crazy.
But it is I think it's really cool. That last cat we had, he purred so loud. Mm. Like you could hear it in the next room almost. You know, it was pretty cool.
There's something calming about a cat's purr when they're on your lap or whatever, and they're happy, they're comfortable. They're doing that paw thing where they do that, you know.
Yeah, where they're kind of patting their way. Yeah,
yeah. There's something so before calming about that.
Before they bite you.
Yes. Before
lick your finger bone clean.
Knock your wine glass over or your beer over or whatever. Yeah, yeah. New Year's Day, Green Bay giveaway. That's what I want to talk about to wrap up the hour, Terry. We have two tickets to the January 1st game, Green Bay versus Minnesota. These are club tickets. We're giving these away. Listeners will register at Dropbox locations for their chance to win. One name will be drawn from each location, and those individuals receive a $50 gift card from that business and become qualifiers for the Green Bay giveaway. Qualifiers will be placed in a hat, and one winner will be drawn on November 28th. We've got drop boxes at Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, Jennings in Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa. We're still taking more sponsors for this, so if you want to be a part of this and have a drop box at your location, want to host one of these, you can give us a call at our sales office, our front desk, really, at 424-1300. We'll hook you up with the best in the business and Steph Schmidt.
So that's really cool, because the business needs to donate a $50 gift card, and then they get promoted through this whole... I mean, that's...
It's pretty cool.
That's pretty slick.
Yeah, yeah. You want to be a part of this, everybody. It's a fun one. And man, you want to get your names in this running.
Have you ever sat in the club seats?
No.
It's really cool.
It looks cool. Wow.
That I will just say one time we had the opportunity, some friends of ours who have a local business had them, and so we were invited. But you kind of want to scream like a lunatic, and it's not quite that loud in there.
Yeah,
but it's cool.
You can find out by winning these tickets. Get to one of those.